particular, I believe, will help you sustain victory and live a life of conquest. So many of us as Christians are living inferior to what the scripture says. A lot of times our theology doesn't match our reality. Does that make any sense? And I want to make sure today that we just take a moment and really examine. We have to be candid and honest with ourselves because I want to be clear. There's nothing in popular culture that's going to point you toward Jesus Christ. Okay, I got about seven of y'all. So I know I'm going to be stepping on all kind of toes today. There is nothing in popular culture that's going to point you towards Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the academic sphere. There's nothing in the entertainment industry. Let's just be transparent and real about it. The enemy is not playing games, but oftentimes we have found ourselves just inebriated with entertainment. We just consume so much, and it is affecting our walk with Christ. It is causing the church to be anemic. And it is the will of God, it is the purpose of God, it is the precepts of God that we be a powerful people showing forth his glory. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. So we're going to continue to talk about David. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. And if I know our media team is doing a great job, and I asked for this mic here on the fly so they work. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. If we end up with that hum, guys, you let me know and I can switch. And if I'm not coming across loud enough, you let me know and I'll adjust. 1 Samuel 16, 14. I give honor to the entire pastoral staff, Pastor Kyle, Pastor Sapp, Pastor Dooley. I appreciate you men of God, the invitation, the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to hang with you all. I'm just thankful for what the Lord is doing, and I'm so glad to be a part of the Florida district. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. We'll start at verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, break that out. And if you don't have your Bible or your Bible app, you need to look at somebody and be like, what's up with that? How you don't have at least a Bible app on your smartphone? You need to download that right now. 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23. Some, if it's your custom to stand during the reading of the word, that's fine. If you want to sit, that's fine too. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to and who is a skillful player on the harp. If you bring me that handheld, I can switch. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul, by the way, let me just say this. You never know who's watching you. You never know who's watching you. I'm not sure that David understood that these men were watching him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me. In other words, stay with me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Why don't we pray one more time? Father, we love you, we bless you, we exalt you. We're so thankful for your presence in this place and what you're doing in the lives of everybody here that's under the sound of my voice. We rejoice. You are good, and you're good all the time. Your word is good. Your spirit is good. Your promises are good. We celebrate you today, Jesus. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. things I want you to understand. You might want to write this down. When the Lord spoke this to me when I was doing some studying, it really helped me. So I've kept it ever since about 4 or 5 months ago. I want you to understand that your convictions are going to protect your possibilities. I want you to understand that. So we have so much potential in this room, and convictions are unique, okay? They are tied to inexplicably the idiosyncrasies of who we are. In other words, your convictions and my convictions may vary. I know an elder in my life who refuses to put anything on top of his Bible. He refuses. Now, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with putting my iPad on top of my Bible or whatever the case may be, but his conviction is, for his personal life, that if he puts anything on top of the Bible, it may give way, if you will, to something else having preeminence in his life. He wants the Word of God to have preeminence in his life. I'm not suggesting that anybody else leave for today feeling like if you put something on top of your Bible that it doesn't have the preeminence in it in your life, but what you need to understand is those convictions. God gives us those convictions. I know he's a pastor now, but when he was in Bible college, he was a phenomenal musician, and he could play absolutely anything when it came to the guitar. He was so gifted. One time he was in his room, and he says the enemy came. He physically had this ball of fire just kind of come into his room and said, "If you will give me your soul, if you'll sell your soul to me, I will give you this kingdom," talking about this world, if he would do that with music. And from that, he was so shook, he had this conviction. He said, "You know what, I will not play the guitar for a number of years. I don't want to even pick it up because I don't want to deal with the temptation of playing anything secular." Those convictions protect possibilities. God has given you all some. Now let me just say this. God's given us convictions, and he's also given us good Christian sense and biblical sense. Don't ever get it confused. I don't want anybody here. We should all pursue excellence. However, man's standard is excellence, but God's standard is obedience. So I don't care how you feel. If it comes from the Word of God, then we just to obey it. I'm glad I had about a couple of good tools. Okay. I know it's Saturday morning, but so don't ever get that twisted. Don't pursue excellence, but don't let that be your standard. Your standard is obedience. And then in your journey, God is going to give you some convictions. Those convictions are here to protect your possibilities. Now, convictions are kind of like, I don't want to say they're just like a calling, but God's not going to continue to convict you over and over again. Like God, when God called me to the ministry, he called me one time. That was it. Now that moment, that calling will last a lifetime. Those moments of inspiration, those convictions that God gives you, God's not going to continue to tell you, "Now I told you. Now here I am. I'm going to have to tell you again." He told you once, and once is more than enough. And what you need to understand is those are going to protect your possibilities. So I want to talk about a topic today that I think may ruffle a little feathers, but you know what? I know what it did for me. When we look at the life of David, David is a phenomenal character. I love character studies, and probably one of my two favorite biblical characters are David and Paul. And I love diving into their lives. David's life is fascinating in a lot of ways because we talked about he really grew up maligned and ostracized. People didn't know who David was, and he has this experience that just changes everything for him. I'm talking about, it's just a phenomenal story. And then when you look at how he and Saul interact, it's phenomenal. The multiple layers, I mean, they had the same blood splattered on their faces. David was Saul's warrior. He was also, they also loved the same woman. Michal, Saul's daughter, was David's first wife. I mean, there were just so many different layers to this relationship. In the text that we just read, we understand that David
is summoned by Saul's servants because they recognize Saul is in trouble. And this journey, I don't know if you catch it, but there's something that happens because of David's visit. He doesn't leave the same way he came. It's really interesting because we have a lot of gifts, but there's one thing in particular. When you look at David's resume, when you think of David, let's talk about this for a moment. When you think of David, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Say it again, Pastor. Giant killer. This isn't a rhetorical question, so I'm looking. When you think about David, what else comes to mind? Say it again, sis. Yes. On his epitaph, a man after God's own heart. He was so ferocious in his pursuit that the scripture declares he was a man after God's own heart, a giant killer. Somebody else tell me, when you think of David, what else comes to mind? Shepherd. Say it. Adulterer. Yeah. Somebody else. Saul. Songwriter. King. Warrior. Yeah, king. I hear that. All of these things. This is why David is not like some spiritual superhero, because we can relate to David in a lot of ways. Some of us have had great victories, but then at the same time, we know the real us too, where it's like, man, David had high highs, but then David had moments where you're just like, he was tragically human to the core. He might be mighty in battle, yet he would be weak at home. And if we're going to be real about it, we have experienced the same thing. And so this is why today I'm going to challenge you to be transparent. Paul talks about there comes a time when we have to examine ourselves. I'm going to challenge you all today to do just that, to examine yourselves. Because I want you to realize that there's not one person in the Bible that wasn't dysfunctional. You're not going to find it, obviously, with the exception of our Lord and Savior. But I'm not talking about God in a body. I'm talking about every other character. They were jacked up. They had issues, if you will. Aren't you thankful we serve a God who will work with us and work through our issues, use us in spite of us? So right out of the gate, perfection is not the goal. But here's what I want you to understand. We listed a whole bunch of attributes when it comes to David. The scripture says that David was a mighty man of war, a man of valor. He was prudent in speech. David was so bad that, I mean, the man had it so together. He was a psalmist. He was a poet. That when Bathsheba's husband was gone, and he said Bathsheba's name. She was like Uriah who? Her husband is going to battle, and for a moment, she forgot all about Uriah. He had it. You name it, David could do it. He was handsome, the scripture says. He was prudent in speech. He was a man of valor. But isn't it interesting that those attributes aren't what brought him into the presence of the king? The thing, it even said that the Lord was with him. But the one thing that brought him into the presence of the king was what? His ability to play music. This alone lets us know the importance of music. There is nothing more influential than music. You know what? Music defines cultures. When you think about it, I've had an opportunity to travel all over. I'm not just talking about cultures within America. I'm talking about cultures internationally. When you think of, if I were to break out a banjo or a harmonica and start playing, you might think about, man, where this brother from? We're playing this bluegrass. You think, you know what? That there's a certain culture associated with that. If I started playing some music from the islands, you'd be like, oh, immediately, you'd be like, oh, man, you start thinking of the culture. If I started playing music from Latino America, you'd be like, oh, man, that's what I'm talking about. You understand. Music, I thought I got big feet. Sorry, it was a bottle of water. But music defines cultures. And if we're not careful, music is so influential, it will shape our thinking and our understanding. This is why we have to be careful what we expose ourselves to. Okay, I got about 10 of y'all. So I'm gonna keep plowing for a minute. With this, we need to understand how important music is and the impact it has upon our life. Literally, I grew up, I didn't grow up in church, and so I was kind of an 80s kid. So there are like certain iconic series that I'm just, if I hear it, I'm like, oh man, it's go time, baby. One of those is like the Rocky series. You know, if I start hear some, you know, dun, 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 I'm like, oh, put me in the game, coach. I'm like, I'm ready. If I hear Eye of the Tiger, I'm like, it's going down. They don't want any of me today. Why? Because, you know, that music just gets you in that mindset where you're like, man, it's, yes, I can do this. I'm ready to go. That's why, you know, when we work out or we go exercise, you know what we do? We don't listen to some slow worshipful music when you're trying to run miles. You're trying to listen to something with some energy to it so it will help you to get around when you're like, oh my gosh, my legs are killing me. How am I going to do this? Music affects your psyche. It affects your mood. Literally, you could have a baby, and that baby could be restless, and you could try to rock them, and you know what, they start fussing, but then the moment you just start singing a little bit, you could sing all out of key, you could be, but you say, hush little baby, and you start rocking it, and next thing you know, they just knocked out. Music has the ability to do that, and I want you to think about what is affecting you when you listen to music. Now, we have to be really careful, because when we look at it here, we understand that Saul has got a strange disease. The situation is, he is in a massive dilemma. The scripture says in verse 14, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. If you look this up, it literally means in the Hebrew, the word bath, it means to fall upon, to startle, to overwhelm, to terrorize. So this man was being terrorized, overwhelmed by this spirit. And the only thing that would soothe that is a minstrel who knew how to play. Now, this is really important. This is why we know that the Lord is with him. And this is why David was like, you know what? Take not your Holy Spirit or your anointing from me. You can have my car, and you can have my friends, and you can have every relationship, but don't take your anointing away from me, God. I have to have that. This is why I'm not just interested in somebody that's got a lot of gifts. You might be able to sing the house down, and you might be able to preach the house down. All that's fine, but what I need is an anointing that knows how to break the yoke. I want us to be known for great singing and great music, and we had all that today and last night. I want us to be known for great preaching, and you know what? I want us to be known for all those things, but more importantly, what I want us to be known for is a place where the power of God will show up, and chains will be broken, and people's lives will be restored, and they'll be redeemed, and they'll walk in freedom unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is when we understand and value the anointing over everything else. So Saul finds himself overwhelmed by this. David has this unique ability. The one thing that his servants prescribed as the cure for Saul being overwhelmed, being terrorized, was let's find somebody who knows how to play music. You better understand, there's nothing that creates a climate and a culture or an atmosphere like music. This is why it's so important when the scripture talks about finding a minstrel to play, when we have anointed musicians and vocalists who consecrate themselves and lay their gift on the altar. Worship literally shifts the atmosphere. It breaks up our hearts. And that's why when we listen to music, I didn't grow up in church, so you know what? And I don't have time to tell you all of my testimony, but if I hear a song, I could be out and about in the grocery store and doing whatever, and I hear a song, and immediately my mind is like, it pulls back experiences. It pulls back moments of who I was with, where we were, what we were doing. I'm talking about it's with such vivid clarity. It's almost like I'm transported in time. That's the kind of, and I'm just going to come out and say it right now because I'm kind of building up to it, but let me just say this right now. If you are listening to Beyonce, if you are listening to Taylor Swift, if you are listening to Jay-Z, if you are you know what? We don't talk about it today. It seems like for some reason, the old music somehow is like it becomes more sanctified over time. So let me say this. If you are listening to Prince, since he just passed through, it makes no difference. I could go down the list. If you are listening to these artists, you need to understand there is nothing redemptive about their music. Now, I know that might make some of you uncomfortable, but can I just tell you there is no demilitarized zone in the spirit. You are either for the Lord or you are against him. And I want you to think about it for a moment. When you think about the composition of Lucifer, he was literally made up of stones and precious metals. If you studied in Ezekiel, literally every step he made a sound. And that sound was a sound of worship. And we need to understand that we are called to do many things, but we were created to do one thing. That one thing is worship. Before you are a singer, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a Bible study teacher, you are a worshiper. And let me just say this, you're a better Christian when you're a worshiper. You're a better Sunday school teacher when you're a worshiper. You're a better Bible study teacher when you're a worshiper. You're a better usher when you're a worshiper. Somebody needs to understand that my worship shifts the atmosphere. My worship shifts the atmosphere. What I listen to shifts the atmosphere, and it reinforces some things in the spirit. If you had any idea what these artists went through and what they sold their souls to, you would be appalled. Isn't it interesting? We just found ourselves so consumed with entertainment. I'm befuddled that we can literally watch some stuff. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying. We watch homicidal murders. We watch people get raped and be like, that movie was so great. Come on, did you see that? What? And you think allowing those things to not just penetrate, but to saturate your spirit. Think about that for a moment. We over here singing about an anaconda, which is a snake that slowly wraps itself around you and takes the life out of you. And we got young apostolic singing that nonsense. Think about that for a moment. I want you to let that sink in. That is not the, and you're wondering, I know it's nobody in here. I know it's nobody here. But we got more people working on whipping and nay-naying and twerking than they know how to lift their hands unto the Lord. You somehow do all kind of crazy videos on YouTube, whipping and nay-naying and twerking and doing the running man, but yet when it comes to being in his presence, you can't lift your hands and you can't somehow find your way to bend down on your knees and glory. The devil is a liar. Honey, you better get ready. You better decide, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to let go of this nonsense, and I'm going to magnify my Savior. So music is playing this role. And you know what? I know I told you I wasn't going to tell you my testimony, but I want you to understand that all of life is worship. All of life is worship. And you'll never be a worshiper when you're worried about yourself. You'll never be a worshiper when you're worried about yourself. And again, I talked about this last night a little bit, because we live in this self-absorbed world where it's got to be all about me. But you got to get the attention off of yourself. And let me just say this. If you have interest in anybody whatsoever, let me just tell you, if you don't see them worshiping, if they kind of like this, if the song's being sung and they're like, well, and they're breaking out their phone and they tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming and Snapchatting, and they can't lift their hands, honey, can I just be very, I can't say this in any clear terms, they are not the one for you. You better know, you better find you some friends, and you better find you a relationship where they know how to get a hold of the presence of Almighty God, where they know how to worship and lift up the name of Jesus, because some of you all understand that worship is a key. Worship is a gift. As a matter of fact, for me, I tell people all day long, I'm a worshiper. I know it, because I should have lost my mind, but I knew how to worship him. I should have given up on everything, but I knew how to just say in the midnight hour, God, I'll praise you, whether it's good or whether it's bad, because you've been faithful. You're God alone and God all by yourself. Worship is a gift. And the moment we understand and we decide to get over ourselves, then all of a sudden some things will change and we'll realize that, you know, let me just say this. I know I'm getting away from it. Let me tell you, when I grew up, I said to you my story. So I'm not going to tell you all of it, but we ain't got time for that all day. Because it'd be like, well, once upon a time when I was 3. But check this out. I grew up loving music. My father was involved in many things. One of them was entertainment. So we would have people over our home like George Benson. Now I know that's kind of old. Y'all probably like, George Benson, who is that? You know, but those are artists, Commodores, things like that. So my dad, we had like a 3,500 square foot home at the time. And I'm only telling you that to tell you this, that like the basement, which was like the width or the length of the house, was almost exclusively dedicated to music. So music, I grew up listening to all forms of music. My father was a musician. He was a trumpeter. And so I picked up the trumpet at a very early age and began to play music. I loved every possible genre with the exception of heavy metal. I listened to everything you can think. I could not get into that headbanging though, okay? I listened to every possible genre. You name it. If it's from the time period of the 60s to the early mid 90s, if I hear just a split second of it, I can tell you who it is. I can sing it. That's just it. Every genre, makes no difference what it is. I listened to it. I loved it. I was in the band. We could be playing. People would tease me because we could be playing particular pieces, classical pieces, and I would be so moved by the moment and the emotion of the music. I can remember crying while we're playing this. I'm thinking to myself, there's nothing more beautiful than this. And so I can remember music. However, I told you a little bit last night of who I was raised by, spiritually speaking. Everybody thought I was in church a lot longer than I had been. I've only been in church when I got the Holy Ghost in this moment. There was only about four months that I'd been in church, but it had kind of been accelerated because I just hung out with church mamas who loved on me and poured the word into me. And so one day I'm at my first youth camp. Charlie Mahaney is preaching. And it was one of those old camp, I'm going to talk about one of those old school services where people Friday night, I mean, they just, y'all don't know anything about this, people throwing stuff at the altar. I mean, they getting rid of all kind of stuff. I mean, and you think, man, stuff is flying at the altar. And I remember looking at this one guy, and there was this camper, the chaperone, he was next to me, and he says, man, I know why that guy is struggling like he's struggling. You could see it on his face and physical disposition. It was like he wanted to go to the altar, but there was something holding him back. And he says, it's secular music. And I thought to myself, what? Secular music can do all of that? And at the moment, I thought to myself, well, I had at that time, probably, and this is not an exaggeration, probably really close to 1,000 CDs. Now, y'all won't even know what a CD is. But a CD is a circular disc. It's probably about 5.5, 6.5 inch diameter, okay? And you would put it in this machine, right? This machine would kind of, you know, okay. Anyway, some of y'all know what it is. But I had like the big CD magazines. You just take that big booklet and you just flip it. You would take the cover outs anyway. Big stack stereo system, too, boy. The speakers would be like this big. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody? I got anybody in their 30s that knows, well, praise the Lord, okay. Or old. Anybody like 35 and older should know what I'm talking about. We used to have like the 100 disc CD changer. Boy, you get me to. Okay, so, you know what? We're playing, and I thought to myself, man, I got to get rid of this music. So I go under my car to get rid of what I had. I had probably at that time just a little bit in the car, but I'm not exaggerating. When I'm running to the car, I felt like something was chasing me. And here I am in the dark. If you knew our spouse's corner camp in Virginia, we no longer have that. We actually bought a camp, but it wasn't well lit. It was really dark. And I'm running and stumbling and falling down all over the place. I feel like I'm in a scary movie. And I feel like I'm in trouble because the brother is always the first person to go in a scary movie. I'm like, I'm done. Help me, Lord. I'm literally looking back like, what is this stuff that's chasing me? I get in my car, I get the little bit of stuff that I have, and you know what? I'm running and I'm like, if I can just make it to the altar. And I press through everybody. And I am not exaggerating. When I let go of that music at that altar, now I was an athletic guy. So played every sport. We traveled international with soccer in particular. I didn't lose my balance, but I literally fell into Charlie Mahaney. He had to hold me up. It was like an 800-pound gorilla had been snatched off of me. That is the influence that secular music has on us today. So when I realized that was the case, it wasn't hard for me to go home and decide, you know what, I'm going to get rid of everything in my house that doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, you don't gotta amen me. The thing that I'm trying to tell you is the reason why some of you all are bound today is because you're listening to secular music. It is robbing you of your joy. It is robbing you of your peace. It is robbing you of your understanding. It is clouding your judgment. God bless you, man. Thank you. You know, it's doing all of these things. As a matter of fact, some of us like to talk about, well, what about the love music? You ain't got no business listening to love music because it is awakening things in your spirit that don't need to be awakened. You looking at somebody talking about something, and it, because of what you listen, some of you all are contemplating giving yourselves away because of the nonsense you're listening to. You better understand, and let me tell you this. This is why this is so important. Understand that there is nothing in this culture today that's going to point you toward Jesus Christ. So can I tell you, the music and the entertainment we listen to, it's only reinforcing it, making it tougher for you to get your way into his presence. Okay, I'll tell you what, let me give you an example. How did you first learn your ABCs? Some of you can't say your ABCs to this day. Some of you in college had a 4.0 in high school. If we said say your ABCs, you'd be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I mean, why? Music. But what you need to understand is, and let me help you with this, while it's the way it may reinforce some things in the spirit, the same is the set of us when it comes to worship music. When you are listening in particular to scriptural music, it reinforces truth in your life. And when truth is reinforced in your life, it is not only established, but it really gets a hold of you. And then when you're going through something and you need to get a hold of Jesus Christ, you'll be able to do so, doing so freely, weightless. It is the will of God that you all live a weightless walk in him. Does does that make sense? But some of us are walking around like this. Whew, Pastor, just pray for me. It's so tough. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm going to tell you how you can make it. Get some stuff out of your life. Oh, well. Oh, well. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand. You know what? David was first a worshiper. He spent his days worshiping and learning how to fight. He said in the 144th Psalm, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." In other words, David the worshiper eventually became David the warrior, who later became David the king. Do you see the progression? Let me tell you, David went in to Saul's house on a donkey, right? Because of his ability to play. But how did he leave? He left an armor bearer. That's what happens. See, we often seek the hand of God, and there's nothing wrong with that. Faith will show us the hand of God, but worship will give us the heart of God. And when you learn how to worship, all of a sudden you might come in one way, but you'll leave a different way, and God will say, you know what? I want him to be close to my side. I want him to stay with me. Do I have anybody that wants to worship him in spirit and in truth? I'm not talking about, I could go to that text right there, John 4, when Jesus with the woman at the well. She's like, well, are you greater than Jacob? Because Jacob, as well, his family was at this well. His horses drank from this well. And he's like, get over your tradition. Do you understand who is in front of you? If you're going to worship me, you must do it in spirit and in truth. Amen. So you know what? We can allow ourselves to whatever tradition does. Honey, you better abide by the word of God and not the excellence of a tradition. I'm not minimizing all of them. What I'm simply saying is our worship better be in spirit and it better be in truth. David understood how to get into the presence of the Lord. You look at what it says in the 116th Psalm. The 116th Psalm, beginning at verse 1. He says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Praise God. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Look at that peace. For you have delivered my soul from death, my ears from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. David knew how to talk to God. You got to learn how to talk to God. Is anybody hearing me? I'm going to help you all out for a moment. Okay, you know what? That handsome man over there on the right, right over there. See, my right, your left. And that red t-shirt, the boy's bad. The boy's bad. That's mine. That's mine right there. That's me. You know what? He's 9 years returned 10. Now, when you know, the first thing when we had him, Pastor Sal, when we had him, he would say, when he's getting up, he would say, Dad, Dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my boy. You know what? Then if he was 3 or 4 and he kept saying dada, I might be like, okay, that's cute. If he calls me dada at 10, I'm going to be concerned. If any of you all go into your mother or your father talking about something dada, they would look at you like you're crazy. What I'm trying to tell you is we need to mature. Let me give it to you like this. It's the same in our walk with Christ. In the beginning, you can come at him with hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But at some point, you have to begin to understand, how do I articulate myself to my God? So you know what? I tell people all day long, it's just like you have to expand your vocabulary. And the only way you're going to begin to do that is when you know how to worship God and you stop listening to all of that nonsense. It's just kind of like, how many of you all have your driver's license? Okay, that's what's up. So you've been driving. If you know, you get real excited if you got two people in the car and you hit that HOV lane. Because, you know, traffic could be bad, and then you hit that HOV, you're like, oh, what's going down now? I can get to moving. It's the same way in the spirit when you learn to articulate yourself to Jesus Christ. When you get beyond the hallelujahs and you begin to say, God, I love you with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my strength. I can't make it without you. You're a provider like no other provider. You make a way when nobody can make a way. You're my refuge and my fortress. You're my strong tower and my deliverer. I'm trying to tell you, when you begin to press through like that, honey, all of a sudden another lane will open up in the spirit, and you'll find a shift that takes place in your life. Is there anybody that wants to worship their God? I want you to stand to your feet and begin to magnify him. Come on, that's it. Come on, a real worship will release frustration. A real worship will release hatred. A real worship will release heartache. A real worship will combat the dark side of things. We need some young people that know how to worship their King. He is your joy and he is our strength today. His peace will come and it will pass all understanding when you know how to worship him. Stop worrying about what John Legend is singing about and learn how to magnify your King. Oh God. Be seated. We're going to wrap this up in just a moment. I want you to understand something. This is the truth. The word sang is in the Bible countless times. However, it is not a suggestion. It is an imperative. It is a command. So many of us, the reason why you've not entered into a deep relationship with God is because you've yet to offer him a sacrifice of praise. See, sacrifice costs you something. Let me tell you, when I first got in this thing, boy, I you know, if you love music, then quite naturally you love to dance. So when I was a wild kid, but I wasn't like that wild kid who was getting drunk and didn't. I just liked to have a good time. So you know, if we were going to a party, I was the first one to dance. I was like, oh yeah, let's go. That was me. And so one day I was at home, right, Pastor? I was at home. And the Lord was like, hey, I love the worship. So I had the loud music. It's back in the day when I was a kid. I had the subwoofers. If boy had the car, I would just turn the music up, let it play. I just let the music play. And so I was at home, and the Lord was like, hey, why don't you turn the music up? So I just went to my stack stereo system, had that worship music playing. I turned that thing right on up. And the Lord was like, and see, notice, my family knew I like loud music, so I didn't care who was in the house. But the Lord then said to me, I want you to shout hallelujah unto me as loud as you can. I knew nobody was in the house. I'd already turned the music up loud. But when he had told me that, can I tell you what I did? I kind of ran to the steps. I was like, Mom, you here? I was like, Khalid, Camila, y'all in the house? I knew nobody was home. I had no problem turning up the music. However, I had a problem shouting unto God. What was the problem? The problem was my pride. So the Lord was like, you're prideful. I want you to offer me a sacrifice of praise. I want you to shout unto me. So I was like this. And see, this is what we like to do. We like to ease into things. So I was kind of like, hallelujah. And I'm looking around like I'm going to feel something, right? I was like, what you going to hit me with it, Jesus? And I was like, this guy, I ain't feel anything. And I was like, well, let me just ease on in this thing a little bit more. I was like, hallelujah! I was like, I'm just waiting for the glory cloud. And Lord was like, no. So you know what? I just thought to myself, you're right, Lord. It is pride. So you know what? I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go forward. So I opened up my mouth and I yelled as loud as I could. I was like, hallelujah! I just yelled it as loud as I could. And then all of a sudden, can I tell you, I felt the presence of the Lord like I had never felt before in my life. In my room. I'm not talking about when I'm with a bunch of believers. I'm talking about what God wants to give you, something that will keep you when you're at home. So then the Lord says, as I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm feeling this freedom I've never felt before. So the Lord says, you know what? I want you to dance unto me. Now my initial response, because I didn't know any better. I was like, is that what you're talking about, Jesus? And he was like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Because it was in the flesh. So the Lord was like, you know what? I was like, I get it now, Lord. I'm going to offer you something in the spirit. And so then as I begin to yell unto the Lord, shouting unto God, I just begin to jump. And next thing you know, I'm just kicking my feet. And I wasn't worried about a single thing. I'm spinning and twirling. And the next thing I know, I'm telling you, the power of God was in my room so much. The radiance of his glory was so overwhelming. I didn't feel like I could open my natural eyes. Y'all hear? It changed everything for me. And I want you all to know, worship will change everything for you when you learn how to worship him in spirit and in truth. God wants to do that for us today. A song of praise will bring you closer to God. A song of praise will strengthen the connection you have with God. A song of praise will enable you to speak clearly and see clearly. A song of praise will put you on God's wavelength. A song of praise reminds us that God is the only one who can solve all of our problems. A song of praise confesses our trust and our reliance on him. A song of praise activates our faith. A song of praise pleases God, and a song of praise leads you into the area of blessing. We praise God for he is good. We praise him for his loving kindness, and we praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's why, if anything is wrong in your life, honey, you just need to open up your mouth and begin to sing a song of joy and victory unto your God. You can worship him while you're on the job. You can worship him while you're on your school bus. You can worship him in your car by yourself, honey. But I'm trying to tell you, a praise will pull you through a challenge. Praise will pull you out of fear. Praise will pull you out of depression. Praise will pull you out of worry. Praise will pull you out of your mess. Oh God, help us today, Jesus. Help us today. Worship, I want us to stand. I want our musicians to come. Hear me. I hit that scripture, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship him. See, worship is a lot like an elevator. It will lift you to a place where fear and anxiety and worry can't follow you. It will take you to a place where your past can't mock you. I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to lift those hands and get connected right now. Something's fixing to transition. Something's fixing to change. I'm telling you what's fixing to happen. Some of you all are going to begin to worship in such a way where you're going to be unrecognizable to your past. You won't even be recognizable anymore because of what God is fixing to do in your life. Go ahead. Come on, you'll lose your life if you don't worship. You'll lose your mind if you don't worship. You'll lose your peace if you don't worship, honey. You better lay it down now and decide. Now would be a time to get out from the aisle. Now would be a time to say, I'm going to worship you. Worship is a must. Worship is a must. I've got to get into the presence of the King. Come on, that's it. Don't you let the world's message of carnality continue to toxic. detoxify you. Let me say this. I would love, I shouldn't say that like I relish it, but I feel this. I feel this, so I feel like I need to say it. I would be glad to sit down and talk with anybody if you want to discuss if there are redemptive components or elements of secular music. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But let me just say this very clearly. I know you cannot argue an experience. I know I was bound, but now I am free. And God wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. Freedom. You know what? Some of us, freedom can be so unnerving because we're so accustomed to the chains, the familiarity of bondage. Some of us would rather abide there. But you know what? God is calling you to a freedom. A freedom where you can race, run this race unencumbered, not weighed down by anything. I don't know about you, but you can really find out how the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want us to do two things. You know what? We're going to worship Him. And here's the thing. We're going to take that worship and we're going to put it on Him. Praise God. Some of you are going to take that worry, you're going to put it on Him. You're going to take that frustration, you're going to put it on Him. You're going to take that heartache, you're going to put it on Him. You're going to take whatever it is, you're going to offer it unto God. And you're going to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And you all are going to find, let me tell you what I know in the Holy Ghost, because I felt like the Lord just prompted me in this. You all, what's getting started now is going to follow you home. Aren't you thankful for that? So here's what's going to happen. Get ready. Get ready. You're going to be home. And you're going to feel led to worship in a way where you're accustomed. Some of you may run. You may have run in church and you've never run at home. And that's fixing the change. Some of you all are going to run. You're going to roll. You're going to jump. You're going to leap. You're going to shout. And you know what? You're going to find out how strong your God is and how He'll keep you and how worship is a gift. What I want us to do, what I want us to do right now in your own way, as I want us, we just want to close this way. Because you just want to say, God, I'm going to worship you. And you know what? If God is calling you, if you feel it and you've got that junk in your life, if you've got secular music in your life, you just need to be transparent and say, you know what? God, help me. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to be part of it. And if you need some accountability, you need to get with your student pastor, not one of your peers. Not one of your peers. Get with your pastor. Get with your student pastor. Get with an elder who will help you. Because you know what? You can live a life of freedom for the Lord Jesus Christ. All over this place, I want us to just begin to worship. Come on, that's it. I want us to begin to worship. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. That's it. You don't need me to cheerlead you. Come on, you know, this is bigger than a moment. This is a calling. This is bigger than a moment. This is a calling. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, come on. Come on, it's a commandment. It's a commandment. It's not a feeling. Worship has never been predicated upon how you feel. It's never been predicated upon what you have. Come on, don't you get caught up in that. Come on and press through that. Press through that until you get into His presence. Press through that until you get into His glory. Press through that until you get a heart connect with the song. Press through that until tears stream down your face and you begin to exalt your King. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Come on, don't you feel it? I'm telling you, deliverance will be in the house soon. Come on, liberty is in the house because where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty in His presence.